Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. I wish I could tell you that things were good, but things are terrible. Welcome to the program. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I heard the most astonishing stupidity today on Fox News, where one of the empty skirts was interviewing an empty moron who said that a new medical study shows that happiness adds years to your life. And that was brought to them by a Fox News medical contributor. And then the empty skirt asked how to be happy. Now, this is while the war is raging in the Caucasus. America is being overrun by an invasion force from Mexico that will soon take over the country. The elites are fiddling while Rome burns. And here we are. We, the people, are listening to this rubbish. And minorities in America becoming the majority. Now, on the face of it, you say, well, what's wrong with that? How about everything is wrong with that? If you look at the countries around the world where most of these immigrants have come from, you will see autocratic regimes, you will see drug dealers running the nation, you will see people living like serfs, and you will see the future face of America. The only way to stop this is to throw out all the politicians immediately and then throw out the anchor babies. You know, this thing about the anchor babies is why minorities in America will become the majority. Most people will be afraid to discuss this for fear that the radical scum on the left will call them a racist. Well, I'll raise this question. Is it racist to love your nation? Is it racist to protect your nation? Is it racist to protect your nation against an invading horde from another nation that wants to sweep you off the map? Is it racist to stand up to a racist organization called The Race? Is it racist to talk about race other than when you on the left talk about it? I don't think so. That's why I talk about it. Listen to this report in clip two.
This census report came out at midnight, and the surprising projection is that by the year 2042, that's 8 years sooner than earlier estimates, minorities will indeed become the majority. And 8 years after that, by 2050, minorities are expected to make up 54% of the population. Now, this is most evident in the Hispanic population, which will nearly triple from nearly 47 million today to nearly 133 million by 2050.
Now, this is all because of President Bush. This is all because of John McCain. This is all because of Obama. This is all because of two corrupt, rotten parties. These parties are in business for their own advancement, not for the protection of America. They are not here to protect America's borders, language, and culture. They don't give a hoot about America's borders, language, and culture. If they did, they would have put military on the border with Mexico. We'd have tanks on the border with Mexico instead of wasting manpower in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's number one. And number two, anchor babies away. No more. Stop it. It's a disgrace. It is no way to run a nation to let illegal immigrants come in here and drop a baby on our doorstep and that baby becomes an instant citizen. I will repeat that even Canada, even socialist Canada, slammed the door on anchor babies well over 10 years ago. And why were the anchor babies and that loophole in citizenship get stopped in socialist Canada 10 years ago? It was because a Chinese Canadian noticed that people from China were coming in 9 months pregnant, flying in at the last minute and dropping a baby on Canada's doorstep. This man of Chinese ancestry in Canada said, we can't permit this. If we do, then we will become a satellite of China in one generation. And they stopped the anchor baby provision in their constitution. And yet we do not have one politician in this country on a national level willing to stand up for America and protect us from this loophole and the danger of this demographic bomb that is going to explode in America. Topic number two on the Savage Nation. Topic number two is, of course, Russia, Georgia, Georgia, Russia, Russia, Georgia, Georgia, Russia. Everybody has an opinion on this. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And unfortunately, most of the fools can be found in the neocon community in this case. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And as I said to you, it's mainly the fools who are saying we should rush in military against Russia. Now, this does not mean we approve of what Russia has done. In fact, we can severely disapprove of what Russia has done while understanding it's none of our damn business. I will repeat to you, and I'll repeat it over and over again, that this provocation by the stooge in Georgia is why there was a military action there. Now, I've read the opposite. I read that Russia was making machinations to move, and he just countermove. He struck before they struck. I have no way of confirming or denying that, so I can't comment on that. I do know that this man's rhetoric is out of line for a world leader. He's not a talk show host. We deal in talk radio in hyperbole sometimes. A world leader cannot afford to deal in hyperbole anytime. This man deals in hyperbole all the time. He does not belong as a world leader. He provoked this. Now, how can you fools be sitting out there saying, we have to back an ally. We have to send troops and planes. We've got to bomb the Russian troops. Haven't you learned anything from Iraq and Afghanistan? Again, we may disprove or disapprove of what Putin has done. Say, well, it was a democracy and pro-West. Why shouldn't we support it? But you're not looking at it from the point of view of another world power, are you? You're not looking at it from the point of view of Russia for Russians. And how do they feel threatened by the emergence of Georgia as a member nation of NATO? Why would Russia be threatened by a NATO member right in its belly in a former Soviet appendage is a question that you have to ask yourself. I understand it's all about oil because I was the first one in the media to report that in 1998. When I wrote this great article, The Oily Tracks Run Through Kosovo. But now, I've been ignored before. Kindly don't ignore me again. I know all the talking classes have suddenly discovered the two pipelines that run through Georgia. But did they know about the pipeline that was going to run through Kosovo when Bill Clinton was bombing the Serbs into submission? How come they didn't know about it then? How come there was no outcry about the invasion of Serbia by Bill Clinton? And now all of a sudden they're all angry because Bush won't bomb the Russian troops. But what can you expect from this administration who has bungled virtually everything? They permit our borders to be overrun by illegal aliens primarily from Mexico who are going to outbirth this country and create a time bomb from which we will never recover. You say maybe that's harsh? Well, I invite you to look at Mexico, and if that's where you want to live, I suggest you move to Mexico. There's a picture of our leader on MichaelSavage.com, holding the flag backwards with his idiotic smile. He even holds up the American flag backwards. I'm starting to think that there's something really wrong here. The mangled speech, the inability to continue finish a thought, the bungled policies. I'm starting to think that there's something really wrong here. And so I put up the headline, Our Leader, Everything Backwards. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. I would like to suggest that people throughout America who listen to this show on a regular basis, please put MichaelSavage.com into your browser and be sure to go there every day to see the stories that I talk about on this show and also to follow the developments of this program. Because in the next 2 weeks, there are going to be shocking statements that I'm going to put up on the website that may not appear on this radio show. You may not be able to hear it on your local station because I may not say it on your local station. But things are going to happen in the next 7 to 14 days that will be somewhat cataclysmic. Phone number is 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website. I'll be right back. Savage.
What's going on? Well, a couple of factors, the most significant being immigration and higher birth rates among immigrants. Another statistic is that the white population is aging. The number of people over 85 will triple in the next 40 years.
And you think the gangbanger with baggy pants is going to pay for your retirement? You liberal fools, you think that they're going to pay for your housing in a senior citizen center? You psychotic liberals don't even know you're digging your own grave and throwing lime in there. All that's missing is the worm from the tequila bottle to go with it. There is a way to stop this. We're right at the tipping point. It could be stopped with one presidential candidate who cares more about America than his own party. Do you see it in Obama? Obama wants to give free medical care to every illegal alien. That's bankruptcy. John McCain, I don't know what the man is doing. Every time he moves ahead in the polls, he makes another statement and moves him backwards. Now he's picking Tom Ridge. He floats that one yesterday. I think I'll pick Tom Ridge because he's pro-choice. And pro-choice is good, that we need to show that we can get along with the other side. And of all people who's pro-choice, Tom Ridge, who after leaving Homeland Security went to work for Albania. They didn't add that one. Former Homeland Security Director, that we wake up, he took a job after the government, Director of Security, to Albania. And this is who John McCain announces he wants to be his vice presidential candidate? I'm telling you, he's being sabotaged. He's the biggest dummy I've ever seen in my life. Dumb, and dumber. Dummy! He moves ahead in the polls, and he picks someone who will shaft the entire conservative base. Just on the choice level. Most people don't even understand what Tom Ridge did after he left office, nor do they care. He's got to pick a pro-choice, meaning someone in favor of abortion now. He thinks he's going to win 15 votes with that choice from the other side. He'll win no votes from the other side. So the big story today is, of course, the war that was conducted brilliantly by Putin, knowing that the morons of the world would be watching sporting events in Beijing on their televisions and could care less about foreign wars. And by a leader of ours who has everything backwards, the dummy is there holding the flag upside down, backwards, smiling like nothing is going on in the world. He had to sit there, couldn't come home, didn't make a statement here, nothing, holding a flag backwards. So Putin took a shot when he needed to take a shot. You may not like it. They're a world power. It's in their sphere of influence. It's not in our sphere of influence. What would you say if Russia had sent troops, weapons and training to breakaway groups in Mexico who wanted to seize Arizona, New Mexico, and Southern California from the United States of America, saying that it's in our national interest to reclaim the Southwest? We have told you this through La Raza and La Mecha. La Raza has been invited into the White House by George Bush. We are doing what is in the best of our national sovereignty with the help of Russia. And what would you do if you were the leader of the United States of America? Would you permit a Mexican breakaway group to take California, Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico, and portions of Texas, and declare it to be part of Mexico? No, if you were the leader of America, what you'd do is you would send in paratroopers, tanks, and you'd do whatever you had to do to wipe out the resistance and to make sure that your national borders are sovereign. Can't you figure this out? This does not work one way. Can't you see this through the lens of your own nation and what the Russians are doing? I mean, there's a justification for virtually anything that goes on in the world. When Hitler invaded the Sudetenland, he also used the justification. He said, it's mainly German, and I'm taking it back. I'm not invading anything. We're just reclaiming what's ours. Now, technically, he was telling the truth. Of course, that's not what his long-term intention was. His long-term intentions were much different. But they always use a pretext. It's like when the big guy punches the little guy, usually as a pretext, if they're sane. In my day, every fight was preceded with a statement that made a pretext for the strike. Today, of course, with the drugged up goons and the gangbangers from other cultures that don't even speak the language, they kill each other without a blink of an eye. So, we're in trouble. You think that Russia is going to get away with it? Yes. Particularly when you have neocon morons like William Kristol sitting here saying, going to war again. War, 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 war. Again, war, war, and more war. And I believe that the conflict that just occurred is as much a result, a direct result, as the president, Saakashvili, I'm sorry, I'm not an expert on the languages of the region, but when this fool, the president of Georgia, ordered Georgian forces into South Ossetia, it was one of the most foolish moves I've ever seen on a world scale, on the world stage. The dominant power in his region is Russia. It is not Bill Kristol at the Meekly Standard. And just because he's an ally of the United States does not mean he has the authority or power to act like a moron. Sure, Russia must be told that you overreached. Sure, Russia should be told in the UN that you, bad boy, you cannot intrude in the political affairs of your neighbors. Sure, go to the UN, the very, very useful UN. It makes the League of Nations look like it was useful. But the fact of the matter is that Georgia was an ally of ours and still is, but they acted imprudently under this fool, the president of Georgia. And so, you know, you could say a rival power is dangerous, and that is true. But how about a reckless ally? Would you say that a reckless ally is as dangerous or more dangerous than a rival power? I would say a reckless ally. That's like, you know, if you want to put it on the level of a kid. Let's say you're a muscular, strong guy who knows how to fight. And you've taken under your wing a kid in the neighborhood who is weaker than you. And you say, don't worry about it, I'll protect you. But the kid shoots his mouth off. It's not enough that he walks down the street with you, but he opens his mouth up to the neighbor who's equal to you in strength, or maybe stronger. And he challenged the other guy to a fight which he knows he can't fight, and he wants you to fight it. That's not a very, very successful relationship for the big guy. That's called a reckless friend when he's going to engage you into a war. So don't sit here and just simply blame Russia. You've got to have common sense. You've got to have street smarts. More than that, though, you have to pull back from all of the desires that you may have, all of you armchair generals who are so happy to send other people's sons to die, namely the jerks at the Weekly Standard and the other fools who got us into the war and then, of course, ran off to jobs in the World Bank and other jobs, capitalizing. If I'm not mistaken, Mr. Wolfson is now running an Iraqi oil company. Follow the money!
Savage.
So America is being swept away by an immigrant invasion that's unprecedented in human history. The only other times in history when a nation's demographics changed so rapidly occurred when an enemy invaded militarily and forcibly changed the demographics of a nation. Now, you may say that is uncomfortable for you to comprehend, but it's true. You may not even want to hear it. You may want to watch a swimmer in Beijing. I am telling you that unless we get control of this government by putting in an honest American who will stop the anchor baby invasion, you can kiss your country goodbye. Now, there are other stories we could talk about, but they're all related to this. Elementary school starts dual language learning. We'll talk about that. Inflation at fastest pace in 17 years. Can talk about that. There are so many stories, I don't know where I want to go from here. I think the biggest story to me is our leader having everything backwards. Maybe it'll come out in years from now that George Bush was suffering all these years and struggling very, very hard to figure things out, and he just couldn't do it. He just missed something somewhere along the way. And what should we say? Oh, well, that explains it. Oh, he thought that the border with Mexico was the border between Mexico and Guatemala. That's why he held the flag upside down, backwards, in Beijing. He actually thought he was protecting America when he's protecting Mexico. That's okay. It's a little mistake. And he actually thought that Iraq wasn't in Iraq. He thought it was somewhere else because he read the map wrong. What he saw when he read the map was different. And, you know, you have to forgive him because, after all, he didn't mean to do these things. And now we have closure and forgiveness. So Where do you want me to go today? $15.8 million in equipment missing from U.S. agency. A federal probe found $15.8 million worth of supplies was lost or stolen within the Indian Health Service. And the Indian Health Service attempted to obstruct the investigation. Every government bureaucracy is bloated and corrupt, which is why our currency is collapsing, why our taxes are through the roof, and why? Why, oh, why, oh, why? Here's another little story for you. A federal judge in San Francisco has just said that the University of California can deny course credit to applicants from Christian high schools whose textbooks declare the Bible infallible and reject evolution. That's right. A judge, a single judge, has now negated religious course credit. One communist judge in a black filthy robe from Brooklyn, New York, no doubt. Go trace it out. Tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know. You think I don't know where the poison comes from? Here's another story. Gannett to cut 1,000 newspaper jobs. They'll have to build new cafes just when Starbucks is going out of business. Just when Starbucks should stay in business for all of the out-of-work intellectuals who are going to be sitting in cafes with laptops, sending hate mail to talk radio shows, who will still be here when they're gone, the coffee shops are closing. 1,000 newspaper people will be fired. Payroll. Instead of changing their policies and starting to appeal to the readers, again, they won't change course. They won't change editorial course. They keep the same anti-American, anti-military, anti-police, anti-family, pro-gay, pro-terrorist editorial policies, and they can't put two and two together. I could save any newspaper in this country in 90 days. I could save any newspaper in this country in 90 days if only they gave the people what they want. You know, they say, there used to be a statement, if you build a better mousetrap, people will beat a path to your door. You know, it's 100% true. I can name five people I know who built a better mousetrap who are very wealthy today. They came into a marketplace flooded, and they created a new product within that marketplace, and they became successful. I'm an example of it. The marketplace was filled with talkers when I got here. People said it could never be done. They said my accent was too New York. They said I could never overcome the liberal bias. Well, how did I do it? Because I gave the people what they want to hear, because I believe it down to the last molecule of DNA in my body. I'll give you another example. I complain, and too much, I complain far too much about food on this show. I admit it. In going through the stories from my autobiography and looking at what the proofreader sends back to me, and she's a young lady in another state who doesn't know me at all, I realize that I seem to spend a lot of time on food. I become my mother, in essence. For those of you who listen to the show get the joke. I don't mind if I became my mother. I loved her dearly. But there's a bigger point to it. I'm obsessed with food, with decent food. I don't mean great food. I'm not into fancy restaurants. I don't have the patience. I don't sit like a decadent slob over whether they tossed something with a certain this or that. I can't take it. I didn't grow up that way. I don't care whether it delights me. I care whether it's excellent quality and it's cooked right and it's fabulous. I don't need to see whether some chef with an earring and running open sores on his neck made something that he learned in a cooking school from some other moron. It doesn't do a thing for me. French Laundry they run to sit there like a putz, and they come, oh, I ate in there. You should see. It took me 2 years to get the resume. Oh, and what did they get out of it? That you can't get anywhere else. But you can't cook yourself. Nothing but hot air. It's part of the decadence of the society we're living in. This stupidity and foolishness. I ate an X restaurant. I am so fed up with restaurants. I went to the Subway sandwich shop today. I stood online like every other moron. Just stood with the morons. I became a moron. Loved it. No, I didn't love waiting. It was jammed. Why is it jammed? Why is the Subway sandwich store jammed? I saw they were running an ad that sandwich is $3.99 for an extra buck. It's a foot long. So I said, you know what? I can't take restaurants anymore. That was after the Chinese poisoning the other day. The lip sticking. When she looked in my face and tongue lashed me, screaming at me, how come you're saying it's grease? There's no grease on it. That's like the guy who gets caught in bed with another woman and his wife comes home and he looks at the wife and says, who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes? I'm sitting in the restaurant. The dish is coated with grease. And she says, no grease in the food. Why you say grease? Cook don't make grease. She knows me 20 years. Tells me there's no grease. I took my finger, put it on this piece of chicken, and ran it across a napkin. It looked like a snail walked across the napkin. I threw the money down and said, here, I'm paying. You don't pass it. I pay. That was it. 20 years. Goodbye. So I go to Subway sandwich store. I'll make it quick. Finally, I get on. It's my turn. The only part I couldn't take were the people with cell phones ahead of me. I wanted to break this. I did have anger management problems in there. I got to admit it. Three men, I wanted to grab their wrists and take their cell phones and throw them in the mayonnaise. Not the man, the cell phone. And tell them, shut up and stop talking like a chick. Shut your mouth. Take the cell phone out of your hand. You sound like a stupid teenage girl. You sound like Lindsay Lohan. Can't you shut up? There are people online here. Shut up! I didn't say it. I had to control it. I did almost leave once. I did almost grab the phones twice. But I didn't. I finally managed to get to the counter. And you know what? The service was great. There's five people. Now look at the value you get for $5. This is not an infomercial. They don't advertise on the show. I'm making a bigger point. Okay, foot-long tuna. So the first guy puts five scoops of tuna fish with mayonnaise on it. I know the mayonnaise is no good for me. Great. Now, just the vegetables alone that they put on were worth the $5. If you just want a vegetarian sandwich, it's worth it. I have half the sandwich sitting here. I can only eat a half a sandwich. Now, that means that two people can eat lunch for $5, a half a sandwich each. I'm a big eater. I can only eat a half of the sandwich. The other half is sitting here in the refrigerator. And I hope it will still be here in the year 2010 for someone who tries to steal it, as is very common in radio stations around the country. Everyone knows if you leave your food in the refrigerator, it will be stolen. At least it was in my experience at a radio station. So I guess I wanted to see what it's like to be poor again. And I decided that if Obama wins and he taxes us to death, and does what I'm sure he's going to do, which is reduce the wealth of the nation to ashes. You know what? I'll survive one way or the other. I know how to eat a Subway sandwich. I could eat in a fine restaurant. I prefer the sandwich to the restaurant. I have very fine cars, some very expensive. And my favorite car is my least expensive car. It happens to be a Chevrolet camper van conversion with a television in it and captain's chairs. And this weekend, you know what? I put aside the expensive cars, because no matter how you try to say you don't know what you're driving, you do know what you're driving, and you are making a statement. The fact is they're great cars. They're wonderful cars, but they're a little too ostentatious and over the top, even though they're wonderful, and people look at them, and you have to put up with that. In the camper van, no one looks at you because they figure, who's the schmuck in the van there? And that's good. Room for the dogs, cooler full of food built in. I drove out to the beach, actually not to the beach, but to Highway 1 North. I haven't been there in 20 years, out on Highway 1 in Northern California to play like Nick's Cove and Eddie's this and like a little place. And, I got a fish thing and took it in the car. The dogs ate French fries. They went off their diet. It was a pleasure. Nobody bothers you. So if Obama turns it into a Marxist nation, I'll survive. I will learn how to play dominoes as they do in Cuba. I will probably have to give my van over to, because it's 2 years old and it's far too new for a white man in America. I'll probably have to turn my van over to a bureaucrat under Obama to be used for a government work. And, so I'll buy an old Volkswagen like I once had, and I'll eat in Subway, and that'll be that. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'll learn to play dominoes, and I'll give up chess. I'll have to hide my IQ. As you well know, high IQ under Obama will become not only suspect but probably criminal, unless you work for the government, which is an oxymoron. I suspect that anyone with an IQ over 90 to 95 will probably be rounded up and have a portion of their neurons destroyed by the government in order to make sure that we're all happy. Because as you well know, happiness is related to longevity, and we all want to live long. Ipso facto, we all want to be happy, according to Fox News. Now, you know that it's the intelligent people amongst us. Well, we really shouldn't call people with high IQs intelligent. It just means that they have a higher brain power, but they usually are malcontents and discontent, and they bring up questions about the government. They criticize government actions and policies. We can't have that. We need the happy gammas and deltas and epsilons. Then you'll have a happy, long-living society. A long-lived, happy society is a society that is not necessarily highly intelligent. It is a society that speaks golf and wall-banging, a certain subset of the language itself. And we don't need people nudging us with questions about reckless allies or anchor babies. I mean, what is the problem here? So what if we become an appendage of Mexico in 40 years, my friend? Amigo, so what is wrong? Be happy. Don't be unhappy. Don't let these malcontents and talk radio worry you about an immigrant invasion. That is nothing but nonsense. It is all good that we become like Mexico. Think of the power of the government, not of the people in Mexico. And the people are much happier in Mexico. Have you not heard of the statement, the happy Mexican? You know that's true. They do nothing down there, and they sit happily, and the government is benign, and they have nice hot sun. They do not need to work down there. That's what America will be in 50 years. A nation of happy people living in homemade houses, growing their own food the hippie way, the leftist way, the eco way, living close to the earth, amigo, close to the earth. Not polluting with these big American cars. It's the liberal way. It's the good way. And you should not listen to these agitators who tell you of another way. There is no other way. There is only the good way. The eco way. The green way. The Obama way. The Marxist way. Sacramento, Jerry, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hey, Mike, I was just calling because I've had personal experience with being on the losing end of a reckless ally. From about age 8 to about age 20, I had a friend who was a firecracker and go off any time, and who do you think had to jump in and save him?
You.
From all the fights that he was in. Yeah, me.
That's what I'm saying. And Georgia is like that reckless ally or that reckless friend, where he knows you're the big guy. You're going to be there for his back, and he's going to start the fight and walk away from it.
Yeah, somehow he ended up at the bottom of the pile, able to crawl out. So,
well, I understand. That's why I told us to look at the situation of Russia and Georgia from the perspective, not only of international perspective, excuse me, but also on a personal perspective. Unfortunately, we have people like the Weekly Standard, which I have called the Meekly Standard for years, of men who never, ever got into a tussle in their life, I can guarantee it. Never. Never been pushed in their entire life. Never been shoved, protected their entire life by wealthy parents. So they don't even understand what's going on in the world, let alone in their own life. Unless you've been punched in the nose without explanation, you have no idea what's going on in the world. And I'll never forget the first time I got hit in my nose without seeing it coming. I saw stars. I tell you right now, I'm not boasting either. I mean, I didn't enjoy it, nor am I physical guy who likes to get hit in the nose. A kid hit me. I didn't even know where the fist came from. It was PS 48 in the Bronx. Horrible. Just think of a madhouse at a baseball game. The corridors going up and down the steps was like Trample City. It was the swift and the dead. If you slipped, you got stepped on. They ran over you like in a panic, a pandemonium. And guess what? No one cared. There were no balloons and closure. No one came running to your aid. You laid there and you picked yourself up. The teachers could care less if you were too stupid to get out of the way of the mob. They figured you deserved to be stepped on. I'm not saying that's the way it should be. That's the way it was. So you made sure you were quick and swift and could protect yourself. That's how you learn in a world like that. I don't know what happened, but this kid hauled off. I was going up the steps with the crowd real fast. Maybe I said something. I don't even know what I was talking about. Who knows? And I got a whack in the nose. I saw stars. I had to grab the banister to hold on. To this day, I remember what it's like to get side-smocked, whatever they call it, blindsided. And you got to spend the rest of your life after a thing like that learning how not to get blindsided if you can help it. But we have a country filled with people who are policy experts who've never been punched in the nose. Consequently, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't even understand a man like Putin. They can't even comprehend a man like him. We have such weakness. We have such worms and traitors for the leadership of this country that they can't even understand what a nationalist is. It is not justifying what Putin did, but see it through the eyes of the Russian people and through the eyes of the Russian leader, for God's sakes. Stop seeing it through a one-sided lens. The Statue of Liberty, God Bless America, Mickey Mouse, Jell-O, Kodachrome. Stupid. The world is not that way. Stop seeing the world through Mickey Mouse's eyes. The world is not fair. The world is a jungle. Unfortunately, we have leaders who think it's Mickey Mouse. So they send our troops to die in Iraq, and they give them an instruction booklet on when they can pull the trigger. And then when the guy pulls the trigger a little too quickly, a bunch of bums with law degrees in the Marine Corps hold, oh, you pulled that trigger too fast. You're going to have a court-martial. We'll destroy you and your family in trying to defend yourself. We ourselves have never been in combat. But we know more about combat because we want a nice world. We want a good war. We want a safe war. We want an honest war and a clean war and a compassionate war and an American war. A good war. And you didn't act good. You killed all those Iraqi civilians in the middle of a firefight. Now it's true some of your friends have been blown up and you were fighting for your life. We understand that, Johnny. But Johnny, I'm sorry. You had no right to kill those civilians. It would be better that you died. Then we wouldn't have to have this nasty trial, Johnny. And the reason we're trying you is not because we want to get you, Johnny. We know you did your service, Johnny. But you see, it was a nasty thing that you did. You killed all those civilians who had switched clothing after the event. And they went to one of our Time reporters, Tim McGurk, and they told him what you did. Well, we have to believe Time magazine, because we know they're good, loyal Americans. And we have to believe Rolling Stone. We have to believe the reporters for these publications. They're good American publications. They're not like these rabid maniacs on talk radio. These are reliable publications, Johnny. So therefore, we're going to destroy you. If we can, we'll give you the death penalty. But it's nothing personal, Johnny. It's just the way George Bush wants the war to be conducted, which is why he holds the flag backwards. It's the same way he conducted the war backwards, taking the side of the enemy instead of the side of the Marines. Holding the flag up backwards. Everything the man does, protecting Mexico instead of America. Protecting Mexicans instead of Border Patrol agents. Protecting drug dealers instead of cops. That's why he held up the flag backwards. George Bush's metaphor is on my website. Save it. Post it. Love it.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. We're talking about the immigrant invasion and how the immigrants will take over this country as a majority within a certain number of decades, and how this could be stopped if we had a legitimate representative of the people, by the people, and for the people, which, as you know, we do not. If you believe that this government, through Nancy Pelosi on one side and George Bush and the Republicans on the other, represents the will of the people, I disagree with you wholeheartedly. They do not represent a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, or they would not be permitting anchor babies, for example, to be dumped on our shores, who will eventually submerge the population of this nation. Now, you may say, well, what would be wrong? What would be wrong with that? I will point to Mexico and ask you if that's where you want to live in 40 years. We also read that the white population is aging rapidly, and there'll be a large number of people over the age of 80. In a certain number of decades, just at the same time as the demographics of the nation change. I ask you, do you think these people are going to take your old age and treat you the way you're treating them? You liberal fools don't even understand that you're digging your own grave with your false compassion. That is topic number one. Topic number two is the Russia-Georgia, Georgia-Russia equation. And I raised a primary question, which is this, which many of you can't understand, which is the issue of whether the rival ally, the rival power, Russia, is more dangerous than the reckless ally, Georgia. And you have to ask yourself the whole question, not a part of the question. It is true that Russia is a rival power of the United States of America, and we must be cautious with this rival power. However, we must also be very, very cautious with a reckless ally of the type that we have in this stooge, Saakashvili, of Georgia, who overreached and made a huge mistake and is now trying to drag America into a war, which, unfortunately, the neocons who got us into Iraq and Afghanistan would like to see happen. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Our leader, everything backwards, on michaelsavage.com. Stop anchor babies now. Stop anchor babies now. Stop anchor babies now. Indianapolis, Rick, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. This is not a war about oil, although you can argue that oil influence is a side issue. This goes a lot, so much deeper than that. There's so many different angles and forces at work here, and not the least is the image and payback. You know, that being the biggest driving force in this whole thing. There was something that's been going on now for at least about four months.
Well, hold on, but before we go past the oil equation, let's not make it into a minor issue. As I understand it, and I'm not an expert in the subject, all of the oil pipelines and gas pipelines that come out of the Caucasus region, mainly from the sea, the Caspian Sea region, go through Russian soil or Russian territory, with the exception of the two pipelines that now transit through Georgia. And so this is an attempt to be a monopoly supplier of gas into Europe. Let's not make that a non-issue, please.
But the driving, as far as this particular conflict, we have to say it's a side issue because the importance really for the United States is having a jumping strip for Iran. And in this, four months it's been brewing. And so,
I'm sorry, Rick, I'm going to have to take this call off only because I can't understand you. The call is just garbled. And if I can't hear it, the audience is having trouble with it. I'm sorry. I apologize. If he can call us back on a cleaner line, I'm sure he had a lot to say. New York City, WOR. Leon, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I want to discuss Joseph Stalin. I find it interesting that some of the news reports I see on TV show a rather large statue of Joseph Stalin situated in a plaza in one of the Georgian cities. Here we have one of the worst murderers in the world, and I ask the Georgians, why is Stalin's statue still standing? I know he's a native Georgian, but in the name of sanity and common sense, remove the statue. In fact, I see a reporter asking Saakashvili questions tonight. Why didn't he ask him, why is Stalin still standing there?
Well, it's a good question. Why would you expect the statue of Hitler to be standing in Berlin?
Of course not.
Well, how come the German statues of Hitler were all destroyed, but not the statue of the Russian Hitler?
Isn't that amazing?
Well, that's a Russian Hitler. That's right. He killed, millions upon millions of people? He starved 30 million of his own people to death in his land policies. He killed his own generals and wiped out almost the entire officer corps of the Russian military. I have no idea how they won the war, actually, after what Stalin did to his own general. Actually, did that to the generals primarily after World War II, now that I think about it.
And, Michael, one other thing I want to say. Earlier you spoke about how to be happy, or somebody else was talking about how to be happy. I tell them they can be happy by listening to the Michael Savage Show.
Well, I don't know that this is made to make you happy. You can have a laugh now and again, but no, I reacted to that, Leon, because Fox News ran one of the silliest pieces I've ever heard in my life. Happiness causes longevity. It was a suspension of reality.
Well, the nice thing about...
We know happiness causes longevity, and so therefore what? Grand Rapids, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. I just had a quick question before I get to my point. Why don't you promote the Talk Radio Network website where you can get all your archives for, the past month? It's a great way because not a lot of people have the time to listen to the show live.
I'm sorry, I miss you. What?
You have the talk radio
network.
Okay,
thanks for the... I have no idea what he's talking... He's telling me to sell my syndicator's website so they can go on and get my archives. Okay, fine. That's not what he was on the board for. Sacramento, Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I'm looking at George Bush's picture holding the flag backwards.
Yes,
and,
sir.
He's clueless. So is Laura. And the only one that has a clue in this whole picture is Barbara Bush, the daughter. What do you think of that?
I really know nothing about the children. Why would you say the daughter has more smarts than the parents?
The daughter is in the right-hand corner, and she's looking back at the flag with a stunned look on her face, whereas George, President Bush, and Laura Bush have big smiles on their face. In other words, no clue as to what's going on with the flag being backwards. So I think it's unfortunate that I think the man means well, but doesn't have a clue when it comes to things like this. It's unfortunate.
Well, he saw that the flag was in the right direction for him. Doesn't this tell us an awful lot about how the man views the world? In other words, if things look right to him, they're right for the world. Is that what this picture symbolizes?
That's exactly what it's all about.
He doesn't understand there's actually a world outside of his own ego and narcissism?
That's correct.
No, I'm serious about it. It's a very interesting picture, and that's why I put it on the website, michaelsavage.com, is because I think it symbolizes George Bush's entire political life. Whereas he's looking at the flag in the correct position, but he doesn't understand it's being held up for the audience where it has to be turned the other way. And so from his position, letting illegal aliens overrun America makes sense from his perspective, not from the perspective of America or the people of America. And so forth and so on. Go down the list. We've heard that the man is imperious. We've heard that the man functions in his own world. We've heard he doesn't listen to anybody. And I think this picture says it all. Thanks for the call. San Diego, Tony, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I just want to digress off my topic for a second. I'm one of those poor slobs that goes in the subway all the time. I absolutely love it. They wash their hands. They put on clean gloves. The food's always fresh.
It's amazing. I'm astounded. $5. And there was no tax on the $5. It was $4.99 with tax.
Michael, if you tried to make those sandwiches at your house, you'd be looking at $7 or $8. I mean,
I know that. I actually watched the man, the first one, he put in 5 scoops of tuna fish. I said, wow, that's amazing. Then I said to him, when it says the works, you mean all those vegetables are included? And the next one said yes, because normally restaurants like a pizza chain charge you per item on a pizza, correct?
Exactly. And
the
crooks in
these pizza stores... You pay $22 for a stinking roll of dough with a little tomato sauce, and they charge you $2 more for a garlic, $3 more for a mushroom. I never saw anything like the thievery in the pizza business.
It's a home run, Michael. I did my own survey about 5 or 10 local sandwich shops all in my area, and Subway beats everybody hands down for either one reason or another.
Right. Absolutely. And they should pay for this plug on the show today. But maybe they're afraid of 5 people from Abkhazia who may march outside the Subway chain and say that they'll never eat in Subway again. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com, website. Daniel in San Francisco is the caller. He's up. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I am from Abkhazia, and I have family there right now. If Russia didn't step in, Georgia would probably slaughter my family by now. And I'm glad that they did step in because they'd be dead by now.
You're suggesting that Georgia would have killed the Russian citizens in the contested region?
Oh, absolutely. We have no idea here in America. We have no idea what kind of war this is. I lived through the 1992 war, and there everybody hates everybody. Everybody has somebody killed in the 92 war. They would have revenge on every single person. And especially since Russians supported Abkhazians, they would definitely kill all of them.
Well, I can't comment. I'm not from the area. I do know that we in America are the luckiest people on earth because until the immigrant invasion, we had a fairly stable, consistent population that more or less had safety in certain areas. That is no longer true. Right now, people have no idea where they're safe any longer. We have a homicide epidemic in San Francisco, as you well know, because you're from here, being conducted primarily by illegal alien invaders. And yet the mayor of this city actually protected the illegal alien murderers. So don't think it's much different here. What's coming here is what you had there.
Yeah. And one more thing, Michael. The George Bush talks about territorial integrity, assuming that Ossetia and Abkhazia are part of Georgia. But do you know when they were added to Georgia? When Stalin came into power, since he was from Georgia, he decided to add those to Georgia. But those are two different... They're different countries. They have their own independence. And now America is trying to act as if they are part of Georgia and they should be added to... And that's horrible because they would just totally kill everyone, all the civilians.
That would I can't answer that. I suspect that your fears may be founded in reality because you're from a region where people maintain blood hatred for 1,000 years. It's something we don't know in America. Unfortunately, we don't. I mean, unfortunately, we may know it soon in this country because of the changing demographics and what is being brought into this country over the border. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
According to the Rasmussen reports, I call it the Rasmussen reports because I find it to be unrealistic, unreliable. But according to this Rasmussen report, 47% favor government-mandated political balance on radio and TV. I look forward to that. I believe that all radio and television stations should offer equal amounts of conservative and liberal political commentary. And I am volunteering to give the conservative commentary on ABC Nightly News to sit in on Good Morning America and say, you're wrong about that, darling. You're wrong about that. America does not behave in that manner. I'd love to sit in on Good Morning America and offer an equal amount of conservative commentary to all of their liberal bias. Can you imagine if I had to sit in on Katie Couric? They'd have to give me a whole hour. So I say let's bring on the games. You want political balance? You want the fairness doctrine? Great. How about the fairness doctrine in Congress? That every time Nancy Pelosi gives a biased speech or Barack Obama, we the people get to give a speech that, counters that point of view. Would they like to live by the same rules where there's no freedom of speech? Because that's what they're saying here. They will dictate what freedom of speech is. They know what's best for us to think and what to say. Okay, let's move on. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Again, I want to reiterate, there are going to be some announcements on this program in the next 2 weeks that I think will surprise you. And the only way to follow the show in its fullness will be to watch MichaelSavage.com for the complete story of these particular announcements. Okay? You get it? Where are the callers? Here we go. Savannah, Georgia. Darren, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call, sir. I want to first start by just saying how honored I am to talk to you. And Dad and I listen to you every day coming home from work. First off, it just seems like you're taking the side of ex-KGB Putin over a freely elected Georgian president and those people. That I was just confused. I expected to come on and listen to you and say how outraged you were with what's going on. Could you clarify?
Yes. What you expected of me is not what you're going to get from me because you can't predict where I'm going to come from. What you expected was not for me to say that, but that is what you would have expected someone who doesn't understand the bigger picture to say. In other words, there's such a thing that we've heard about the knee-jerk liberal. We all know what that is, correct? Have you heard the word knee-jerk liberal?
Yes.
Are you still there or not? We can't have a dialogue unless we have a dialogue. Do you know what a knee-jerk liberal is?
Yes
or no? Okay.
Yes,
a knee-jerk liberal is if you say the immigrants are overrunning America, a knee-jerk liberal says, no, immigrants are peaceful and they all come here to work. You're a racist for even raising the issue, correct?
Correct. I'm with you.
All right. Well, then a knee-jerk conservative, more specifically a knee-jerk Republican, would immediately say Russia was wrong and Georgia was a freedom-loving nation that must be supported by every American. You have to understand this from the point of view of Russia and from the bigger geopolitical picture, rather than from the knee-jerk textbook set of questions and answers that I think we're functioning in right now.
Savage.
So now Random House, a once great American publisher, long ago no longer a great American publisher. It started a long time ago, by the way. The most recent incident is Random House canceling an historical novel about the Prophet Muhammad and his child bride, canceled because of the concerns of one American professor. Now Salman Rushdie, who wrote the Satanic Verses, who had to hide for his life, says, "I'm very disappointed to hear that my publishers, Random House, have canceled another author's novel, apparently because of their concerns about possible Islamic reprisals," Rushdie said Thursday in an email to the Associated Press. "This is censorship by fear, and it sets a very bad precedent indeed." Random House has acknowledged pulling Sherry Jones' debut novel, The Jewel of Medina, about Muhammad and his child bride, Aisha. We emphasize child bride. Child bride. All of you libs have nothing to say. Suddenly, cat got your tongue. Child bride. So, there it is. A spokesmouth for Random House, Carol Schneider, said, "We certainly respect Mr. Rushdie's opinion, but we stand by our decision, which we made with considerable deliberation and regret." You're a liar, Schneider. Schneider, you're just another little censor, another little left-wing censor. You would have been very happy in the ex-Soviet Union. All you liberals belong there. So, that's it. There it is. That's the story. That's the world that you got because of liberalism and cowardice. And make no mistake about it, it's happening on talk radio as I speak. People are being intimidated left and right. They won't say one word about Islamofascism, not one word about the Islamic problem, not one word about the importation of honor killings into America, not one word about the debasement of women, about any of these outrages is yet to be heard. It is heard any longer in the American media landscape. So they don't have to burn the country down to have achieved their ends. You already line up at an airport like a slave and a victim. Because 19 Muslim hijackers from Saudi Arabia struck the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, we are now without many of our freedoms. And now we are seeing the censorship of the written word, the self-censorship of the spoken word. I personally don't think there's going to be talk radio in a few years. I think it's going to become an untenable medium. I don't think it's going to be possible. I think that the landscape is changing so rapidly that what you're going to have is the equivalent of NPR with sappy, meaningless commentary with Vivaldi music behind it, and that will pass for intelligence. And the politicians, by the way, will want that. Why do you think Nancy Pelosi and most Republicans want censorship of talk radio? What are they hiding? What exactly is it that they're afraid of on talk radio? They're hiding something. Why is it that Nancy Pelosi has sold less than, I don't know, 5,000, 6,000 books, maybe less? She goes on one hack show after another, liberal chick talk shows here in the Bay Area where she owns these people. No one buys her books. They sit unsold in the bookstore. A guy like me writes one bestseller after another with no publicity. How is that possible? Why? Because the truth sells and lies walk. That's all. How's that? Does that work for you? Fluff and rubbish nobody needs. They don't need another rubbish book in their house. They don't need it. Thank you very much. They have enough of them. But if you give them something that's real, they'll buy it. New York City. Carol, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I wanted to talk about that article also talking about the illegal third world hordes coming in and changing the landscape. I think it already has. I think the last election, when Republicans lost in massive areas, was due to a lot of voter fraud, to a lot of illegal aliens getting past voter booths. not having.
I know that. For 10 years, I've been talking about busloads of illegal aliens. I've seen them in voting places throughout my life in California. I've seen them in the motor vehicle bureaus, which I have called the DMV, the Department of Mexican Voting, sarcastically for 15 years. I've seen it wherever I've gone to vote. They bust them from one voting booth to another, and that is how an interloper like Barbara Boxer, who represents a very minority position in the Democrat Party, can be a U.S. senator in our day and age. That is how, that explains why so many illegitimate are coverunding us right now. Remember the statement, illegitimate non coverundum. The reason the illegitimate are now acting like carbon on the soul of America is because of this.
According to the U.S. Attorney Dan Webb, when Obama ran for the U.S. Senate, there were no less than 80,000 illegal aliens registered to vote in Chicago, specifically in his district, who voted for him. That means that...
I understand all of this, but we don't have a Republican Party representing our interests anymore. If we did, McCain would be saying this. Why isn't McCain saying it? He's supposed to be the conservative.
Well, you're absolutely right. I think that this is, you know, the liberal hordes are here. I think it's, unless I have no idea what to do, frankly, I'll be honest. I just don't know what to do anymore. I'm at my wit's end. I think that the Republicans...
Maybe we should start riots in voting booths when we see illegals voting, and we demand that. Why don't we demand their ID instead of the people in there? Call the police. Cause a ruckus in a voting booth. Why don't you shake up the political system? What if 1 million people said, I want to see that person's citizenship, and they call the police, make an issue of it, make the newspapers come out, make the TV come out, cause an upset across the political landscape in November, and say enough is enough, or else we're finished.
Finished.
Thank you. Chicago, Ed, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. First of all, I'm glad to talk to you, and I just wanted to comment quickly. I was born and raised in the Soviet Union, and one of your previous callers was from the area, and I absolutely agree with him. The brutality that has been caused by Georgians in the area is well known to people that lived in the region, and if the Russia did not step in, it would have been the same thing that happened in Kosovo and Yugoslavia. Only I'm praying to God that, obviously it's not going to be the wisdom of our president, but I'm just praying to God that we do not get involved. And it would be very nice if somebody came to a political picture in this country to realize that Russia is a worthy, devoted partner if we treat them as equal. And
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, the head of Russia, as you know, is the former head of the KGB. He wants a newly invigorated ex-Soviet Union. I think he's trying to reamalgamate the Soviet Union under his control, don't you?
Completely honest. To be completely honest with you, and I'm saying it with a sorrow in my heart, I am an American citizen and I'm an officer in the reserves. I came to this country 16 years ago, and we live right now not in America. We live in the Soviet Union. And we can't say what we mean. We can't do what we want. We have no freedom of speech. We have no democracy. We are ruled by one party only, and it's a party of liberal idiots. And you are brilliantly saying it every day. And I am, just like your previous caller said, I don't know what to do about it. I do think that maybe we should send at the voting booths and demand people's IDs. Something needs to change because...
What if 1 million people peacefully demanded voter ID in the next when we go to the next election? Demanded it. Let them call the police and then you call the newspapers and the TV stations that we're not going to take it anymore. I believe this individual is an illegal alien. They'll say, well, why do you say that? You say, I want him to prove he's not an illegal alien. I want to see voter ID. What would happen if we did that? What if 1 million people did that?
Yeah, because wouldn't
it upset the status quo? Wouldn't it upset the status quo when the biggest issue, the most pregnant issue that John McCain, the phony, will not even address, when he is the one that is supposed to be addressing it, he is supposed to address the opposing position to this creeping socialism, and he won't even mention it. Who is going to mention it then? It's the people who have to take the country back when the politicians won't do it.
Absolutely. And the socialism that this country will see with the coming of Obama is going to be so devastating that what I saw all my childhood and youth and growing years in Soviet Union is nothing compared to what will come here.
It will be worse here. I totally agree with you. Because the people here are even more fanatic in their desire to control others than they were in the Soviet Union.
Right. We were sheep here, there. Here, there's too many people today that want to control everything, and they do control everything. You can't express your opinion at work. Every time I say a word, Michael Savage, and I quote something that you said on the radio, I agree with what you said about the exchanging oil for Mexicans. At work, I'm outcasted.
That's right, because the truth hurts. You understand that the reason they want to shut down the truth is because truth hurts.
Absolutely.
Well, that doesn't mean that you have to stop speaking the truth, nor that you have to become a liar.
Father lives in Israel, and I want him to come here and to have to participate in growing of his grandkids. And for the past 4.5 years, Michael, I've been dealing with so-called Immigration Naturalization Service trying to do it legally, where there are millions of people just jump over the border and come here and work.
Oh, no, no, don't do it legally. This is your brother?
My father.
Oh, no, no. Tell him to go as a tourist to Mexico, and then probably for $50 he can find a coyote to take him over the border, and he just has to change his name. And before long, he'll have every social service agency in America smoothing the process and greasing the skids for him. He'll get free medical, free legal, you name it. All he's got to do is say he's from Mexico, make up a name and make up a birthplace. They will bend over backwards for him, Ed. Don't do it the legitimate way. Do it the intelligent liberal way.
I just did it right now. I just signed an affidavit of support promising the government of the United States that at no time my 75-year-old father will become the burden of this state, of this country.
Really? How come they don't care about the burden of 30 million illegal aliens, but they care about your father?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I can give you the reason why, my friend. May I assume you are of the Caucasian ancestry?
Yes, I'm a Russian Jew.
Well, there, you got three things against you. What you have to understand is that we have affirmative action in immigration right now, and white males need not apply. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Close this hour with a warning. I'm going to read a story. The headline says, police say a pound of cyanide found in Denver hotel. Subhead says Canadian man had been dead for days inside Burnsley. You read on and it was a Muslim, an illegal alien, or a foreigner, not a citizen. And they're saying they don't know if it was suicide or an accident. Now I ask you, can this country survive when we have this kind of cover-up? When you know what this man was doing? You know what he was doing with the cyanide. You don't have to be a Sherlock Holmes to know what this man was doing. Police spokesmouth John White identified the white powder as sodium cyanide, crystal form of cyanide. The amount of cyanide he had was enough to kill hundreds of people. The man's name, you have to read on to find the man's name and where he's from and what he was doing there. It says foul play is not suspected in his death. Again, AP throwing it in your face. Isolated incident, not terrorism. The FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force is assisting in the investigation, but FBI spokesmouth Kathy Wright said the incident has no apparent connection to terrorism. She said, you have a suspicious substance that was found in a hotel room in conjunction with a person being a foreign national, and we have a lot of questions, and that's why we're assisting. But there's no terrorism here. But you read on. An online threat posted in July by a man with a similar name warned of death. The blog discussed the killing of Christians in Somalia by Islamists. The person who posted on the blog was a Muslim who appeared to condemn Christians. And he said, this man, Abdirahman Diri, he said, having the Bible in one hand and a bread in the other hand is not a correct thing. Kill them, kill them, kill them. That is my message. Read the posting by the man who was found dead on the Somalis for Jesus blog. Says, of course, if it's not, they don't know if it's the same man. It says, it's not clear if Abdirahman Diri and Solomon Abdirahman Diri are the same person. But the Somali Justice Advocacy Center in St. Paul, Minnesota, jumped in right away and said connecting Deary's death to terrorism is a rush to judgment. Rush to judgment. Everyone runs around with the cyanide. Everybody, any sane American. Just because he's a Somali doesn't mean he was going to do anything with it. And just because his body was found inside room 408 at the Burnsley Hotel in Denver doesn't mean he meant any harm. He could have had some kind of religious reason for having a bottle containing a pound of the white powder. Perhaps he was going to cook a certain kind of cake that required cyanide. If only we would not rush to judgment and not be so racist and so, how do they say, nativist. Why are we so nativist? We must welcome these folks. They mean us no harm. Look how they dress their women in such a modest manner. That is the way the whole world should be, women walking around with their eyes, everything covered but the slits of their eyes. That is the future of a sane America. Performing surgical operations on them, things of that nature. That is the sane way. That is the good way. Don't rush to judgment because the man has an odd-sounding name, like Obama would say, just because I have an odd-sounding name. Don't be suspicious. See, now this is the reason they don't want talk radio. What they want is the spokesmouth for the Somali Education Center to be quoted by the Associated Press. And they want the spokesmouth for the FBI to give you your news. And so the spokesmouth for the Joint Terrorism Task Force of the FBI says, there's no apparent connection to terrorism just because he's a Somali with a pound of cyanide. She said, you have a suspicious substance that was found in a hotel room in conjunction with a person being a foreign national. And we have a lot of questions. That's why we're assisting. There's no terrorism here. Well, just because there's an Islamist with a similar name who says, kill Christians, don't rush to judgment, says the Somali Justice Advocacy Center. See, that's the future of America. No talk radio, no rash rush to judgment, no common sense, because common sense is so common and so sensical that we don't need it. What we need is PR. Morning, noon, and night PR, government PR, FBI PR, Somali PR, 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 PR. They're the professionals. Leave it to them. No intelligence, no insights, just public relations. Medical examiners have reported a bitter almond-like smell from Deary's body after it arrived at the morgue, indicating the possibility of cyanide poisoning. Authorities have not listed Deary's occupation or said why he may have had cyanide. See, he could have just simply been an exterminator. He could have been an exterminator. I'm sure it was related to his occupation. Perhaps I am wrong. He just bought the cyanide and he was trying to put together a... See, he was trying to do it the American way. I'm so sorry I rushed to judgment. He was trying to develop a new rat-killing compound. Oh, my goodness. That's what he must have been doing. He was trying to make it the good old American way. He was working on a rat poison. According to the Ottawa Sun, Deary immigrated to Ottawa years ago. Immigrated to Ottawa years ago. Immigrated to Ottawa years ago. And was a member of the city's Somali community. Deary's father, Abdirahman, also lives in Ottawa, traveled to Denver when he was there. Cyanide is a fast... Well, we know what cyanide is. It was used as a genocidal agent by the Nazis in World War II. But don't rush to judgment. That's why this Somali was found with it. He certainly could have been developing a new product. And the products are the American way. So don't rush to judgment. Don't put two and two together and come up with four. Put two and two together and come up with whatever they tell you to come up with. FBI says no relationship to terrorism. Your mind says otherwise. Woman comes home, finds her husband in bed with another woman. The husband looks at her and says, who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes? You're the other woman right now. The government is the cheating husband. Government says to you, who are you going to believe, me or your own sense? Go ahead, make your own decision. Make your own decision. Now you'll understand why talk radio is an endangered species. Because without this show, you'd get nothing. You'd be living in the ex-Soviet Union before you could even say goodbye, America. The day talk radio is turned off in this country, and believe me, they're turning the dial, the switch, as fast as I could say talk radio. As soon as talk radio is dead in America, you will have total and absolute totalitarianism in this country. And who is bringing it in? Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, the people who cannot sell their own books. The people who have books nobody wants to read, who have politics nobody believes in, they are the ones who want to kill free speech in America. Why? Ask yourself what they have to hide and ask yourself what they're so afraid of. Think back on what I've said to you over the last hours on the show today and tell me what is illegal. Tell me what is illegal. And tell me what it is that the power structure does not want you to hear. Oh, by the way, I'm sure you could figure out for yourself where the danger lied in what I said today. The truth is very dangerous, my friends.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The question is, where do we, the people, where do we turn at a time like this? There are many reactions to this kind of threat. North Korea, Iran, the Sunnis in Iraq, the Russian machinations, the China machinations, the enemies within our own Congress and Senate who are working with our enemy for profit prior to the war. It's not the first time in history that a political class would have sold a nation out for profit unto the last minute. It's happened in virtually every war. And I can give you one example after another if you want to go into that. I mean, and I have, no, you know, I don't know where to begin. I know where to begin. I know where to begin. You know, I'll give you a gross example. Henry Ford building trucks for the Nazi war machine right until the late 1930s. It wasn't that he was a Nazi. He was a good businessman. In other words, he was a globalist at that time. He was doing business in Europe. One of his customers was Germany. They wanted trucks built for their arm and military. And he went further. He converted the truck line into a Panzer tank line. The Panzer tanks were built by Henry Ford in the late part of the 1930s. You say, well, was he evil? No, he was a businessman. That's just exactly the problem. We have the same exact mentality today. People doing business with the dragon. People doing business with the bear. People doing business with the leopard, people doing business with the tiger, people doing business with the python, people doing business with the anaconda, people doing business with the black widow, because they want to take it all in while they can and all at the same time wrapping themselves in the flag. So there's nothing new under the sun. It'll all come to a head. It'll all come to a head. It's going to come to a gigantic blowout. You know, I went to dinner. Let me just back up for a minute. There are many ways to deal, I was saying to you, with the stress that we're living through. And make no mistake about it. The stress that you hear in me and my exhaustion, my ennui, it's not boredom by any means. It's being on the front lines of this every day and not being able to take your mind off it or your eyes off the ball. It can wear you out. And I'm not complaining. I don't have to do this. I'm doing it because I love it. And I have an obligation to my audience, okay? Don't get me wrong now. I'm not complaining to you. But there are ways to react to a continuous stress. People go into different states when a country is in this kind of stress. Some will exercise more. Some will watch more sports. Some will engage in more trivial activities. You know, 100 different things you're going to wind up doing to get your mind off something you have no control over. That's the utter reality. You see, we're in a nation that's so individualistic that it's a state of anarchy. We're all such individuals that we live in a state of constant anarchy. And many of us scream for more control from a centralized government, whether you know it or not. That's a strange statement, isn't it? Many of us beg for more controls over the media, for example. We want the Wolf Blitzers to stop it. We want the New York Times to stop this undermining of America, the family, the war. We're screaming for this kind of thing. We feel it. I hear the gestalt. I hear the scream, the primal scream of the American people. So there's 100 different things that you're going to do. You're going to engage in some kind of retroactivities. I'll bet many of you have regressed emotionally in some ways. If I did an hour on that right now, I'll bet you many of you would be glad to confess to Father Savage that you have found yourself as a grown man or a grown woman regressing in some ways, and you don't know why, that you've slipped back in some of your behaviors. And I don't mean to go into, you know, anything lewd here. I mean, whatever the behaviors may be, you find yourself almost adolescent in your behaviors all over again, and you don't know why you're doing it. It's because you're frightened. You're terrified. The world is not what it was a few years ago. On one hand, it's a great world. It's a Technicolor world. It's a Disney world. It's a world of eternal promise. On the other hand, it's a film noir where any moment something could come out of the side of the screen and strangle you or shoot you or blow up your whole world. And so you're living in a duality here. And so it's a stress, and you don't know, you know, people are doing a lot of different things to relate to it. But make no mistake about it. I went to dinner last night with two men, one of whom is one of my two military advisors. Let me put it to you that way. I have two military advisors for the Savage Nation, and they're real good. They're not MRTHA. Let me put it to you that way. They're not MRTHA. Let's put it to you that way. The other gentleman was a medical person, the dean of a medical school visiting from the East. He was a friend of the military guy. So I took them to a restaurant in the Italian district of San Francisco, the North Beach area, an older restaurant I used to eat in years ago. It was very nice, and I enjoyed the meal a lot. Quiet, very old-fashioned, an old bar, you know, not frequented, not screaming, yelling, da-da-da-da-da. Older Italian kind of food, older style Italian food. So I'm going to just digress a little bit. Pardon me. I'm talking story here. You know, this is what I do. I talk story. I tell it my own way. I'm not desperate to move on here. I think you like it. I don't know. I have to do it my way. Anyway, so I'm moving on. So I said to the guy, you know, I can't eat any of you. Normally eat calamari or fish. That's why I'm still living. Let's be frank. You know, I wrote the book on nutrition. I started writing books on health in 1970. I wrote the book on it. I know how to eat. That's why I'm still living with my inheritance and whatnot, my genetic inheritance. Now I'm eating only meat. I can't eat fish. I can't eat calamari. I can't eat shrimp. Can't eat any of the things I love because I react to it. So I'm back to meat and potatoes, in other words, the diet that killed all my ancestors. but I don't get a reaction. The face doesn't turn red. So I said, look, I want the veal. I want the veal piccata, but I have a question for you. How many medallions do you put in this plate for $22? He says, oh, man, a lot, you know, six, seven, eight. I said, good, because I went to a place, I know the guy 20 years, he gives me three medallions of veal. And I said to the waitress last week in this joint I go to, charge me more, man, but put food in the plate. What's with three medallions the size of a silver dollar each? You know me 20 years. I said, I whispered to the waitress, I said, you know, there's more meat in a hamburger in Carl's Jr. than there is in what you're serving it for $18. She said, I know it. So a lot of, you know, anyway, so we're sitting and talking. I ate too much meat, but it was very good. And I said to them, how does this end? In the middle of the meal, I said, how does this end? Well, they both agreed with me. It ends with us winning. It ends with us smashing them like a hammer on an anvil. They're gone. Every one of our enemies is smashed and smoldering. And when that happens, we don't know. How it happens, we don't know. The exact timing, we don't know. But we do know we're going to suffer phenomenal damage before that is able to happen. We all know that. Because there's no political will or political mandate right now to do that. We have the military capacity, but we don't have the political capacity to do it. It would upset the liberals too much. The newspaper girls would go crazy. The latte generation would probably go into some kind of hyperactive state of phobia and manic depression that they could never recover from. The girls and boys who come out of college and only know how to order a latte. They're real expert. Give me a latte grande. You should hear them in San Francisco. Sophisticated. 6, 7 years of college, they can order a grande. They know how to order grande. Ask them to spell an entire sentence and punctuate it properly. They can't do that. Ask them to work from 9 to 5 for 2 weeks in a row. They can't do that.
Savage.
San Francisco, Walter, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor speaking with you.
Thank you.
I was born and raised in a former Muslim Republic of Soviet Union, and I know from the first hand how oppressed Muslim women are.
Women are treated in these countries worse than cattle are treated. I know that. And the American women, I'm shocked, take the sides of the dirty bombers as though they're somehow saintly. It's astonishing to me that the very same radical leftist lawyers who argued for women's rights are defending radicals who would blow this country up. But look, Walter, how many different ways do I have to say it? Extreme liberalism is a mental illness. They belong in a mental hospital. I know that, Walter. What can I do about it?
Nothing. Nothing. They're completely slaves. They what they do, the only way to get out of there is the way they do it. They would hang themselves, or they would send themselves on fire, or drown.
Where? You mean the Muslim women in which country of Russia? Azerbaijan?
Uzbekistan. And Azerbaijan.
Oh, my God. That was really a primitive region. Uzbekistan is about 90% Muslim, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yes. And they don't tolerate any others, you know. So all other women are automatically for them considered as prostitutes because they wear skirts, because they wear pants, and because they can talk to men.
Mm. Well, they might even get the idea that they want to drive and get a pair of eyeglasses and read. That's really dangerous to a Muslim man in Uzbekistan. Well, Walter, we're importing our own doom here. We are digging our own grave. When I walk around in this country and I see women wearing burkas covering their bodies and their faces, I ask myself, who in their right mind would bring women in burkas? We are a free nation. We're a liberated nation, and we're bringing in the 15th century. What sense does it make to bring in the 15th century in an enlightened nation like ours? Who's in charge of the immigration in this country? Answer, psychotic liberals who broke our borders a long time ago. Walter, I feel like I'm on a big sinking ship. And I'm moving back every day to the rear deck. The bow is already going under. And I'm moving back like on the Titanic to the stern of the ship before it goes down. And I'm still continuing to play the violin, Walter. I'm like the violinist on the Titanic lately. That's how I feel.
Keep it up, Mike.
No, it's a sad statement. I'd rather not say that. I'd rather give you some false hopes. I believe this country is paralyzed in a sense of liberalism that doesn't belong in the time and place we're living in. And I believe the ship is going down. I do. In my heart of hearts, when I see the lack of leadership, when I see the skunks called politicians, the self-centered, the self-interest, the egomania, and no one cares about where the country is going, no one has the vision or the care except for a very small few, I don't see the ship going straight forward. I see it going straight down, Walter. I'm in one of those moods today where it looks very dark to me. And I don't see any hope, really. Thank you, my friend.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You know, the trick is to not put down strangers in your own mind. A lot of us walk around and we think we're superior to everybody we see, and that cuts you off from humanity. It's sad. I mean, I see it all the time, and I'm given to it like everyone else. And I check myself and I say, how do you know what that person is? How do you know what that person feels? How do you know what that person's done? How do you know what miles that person's walked? Who are those people? You don't know by looking at people who they are. But many of us are so isolated because of our narcissism and our egotism that we walk around feeling, oh, he's no good, she's garbage. Jay, if I was in the right place, why I... Da, da, da. And that cuts you off. There's no flow. There's no connection. There's no humanity. So for some reason, and my horoscope, you're going to laugh at me, said that something about the solar, lunar, I don't know, I read it for entertainment, that I'd be moving into this new power for the year, that a power that was unstoppable, and that everything that I ever wanted would be coming my way. And I can't even tell you half the things that happened to me today that are phenomenal. They're beautiful. Now, I'm not tempting fate to throw a curveball at me. There's enough of them waiting for all of us anyway, and there'll be plenty of curveballs. But I grasped the beauty and the joy of the day. And that's why I say, forgive me if I'm talking a little weird, because I had a thought listening to that truck, sipping the coffee. I said, by God, my grandfather, my father, my mother, my brother, they're all buried in New York. I said, no wonder I feel like a stranger in a strange land, even though I've lived here 30 years. And then I thought, that alienation that we talk about, that many of you feel, because America right now has gone through the biggest flux in its history since its founding in terms of newcomers, immigrants, who all have these inevitable feelings of the stranger in a strange land. And somehow I've never lost that feeling. And I can identify with the feeling because I left my ancestors in New York. They're all there. Or the East Coast, which is such a different mentality than the West Coast. I don't know if you people know what I'm talking about. But if you're originally from the East Coast and you live somewhere else, I don't care if it's Tennessee, but you get away from New York City, it is a different universe. The people are definitely different. And I know what's triggering this. I really do. I received a book in the mail. Now that I think about it, I'm very, very sometimes I work out of the subconscious to the conscious. There was a guy years ago named Henry Hill who was the protagonist of Goodfellas, the movie. And he was in a German-Irish-Italian gangster in that Brooklyn gang and went into witness protection. So he put out a book about his witness protection years, and I was reading it. And I'm filled with a combination of interest and revulsion at what a wasted life this guy led. The drugs, the cheating on his wife, the ripping everyone off, and the scores were so small. I made 10 grand here. You know, you could – it's sad. This guy was always robbing someone. But he talks about his witness protection years. And they sent him to Omaha with his wife and his parakeet and his children and how good the marshals were and the FBI, how great they were and this and that. And the scams he got into while he was in witness protection. But what he missed the most were was his family back in New York, his Italian family. And his wife was Jewish, the Jewish family that she missed. She almost went crazy outside of New York. But the marshals let him travel with his pots and his cooking pans, which I thought was very interesting, if it was true. They let this guy take his pots with him because he cooked for everyone. He cooked for the FBI, he cooked for the marshals, and he cooked for the people he met out in wherever they moved him because he loved food. Food to him, he said. He said, why do you think that the racket guys are all so fat, at least in his generation? He said, because the whole life is built around food. And I said, you know, you compare that to the way we all live today with the minimal of food and not eating and no families around the meal. We're like laboratory animals. We're not humans anymore. Because I've known for years as a trained anthropologist that food carries more than nutrients. In other words, there's more of a connotation to food than just the calories and the protein and the carbohydrate. If you understand your ethnic background, you don't care if your ethnic background is straight American white bread. A turkey dinner at Thanksgiving is carrying an ancestral memory for you or a family memory. But the way we live today, we may as well be laboratory animals, I thought. So I was thinking about that, and I said, you know, in some ways, I almost feel like I'm in witness protection, which I'm not.
Savage. You're listening to an encore broadcast of the Michael Savage Show.
There's a fly in the studio. I'd like to kill it. I can't get to it. Don't you hate flies when they get... And I'm the kind of guy that lets flies out of a window, if I can. There's no windows here, no screens. I want to just kill it with a newspaper. In 2 minutes, you're going to hear me running after a fly. I hate flies. I hate them. They remind me of liberals. They always buzz around. They leave fecal matter everywhere. They supply nothing positive to the environment. You know, they're always buzzing. A bee I don't even mind as much as a fly. A bee I never get. It doesn't bother me because I can see a bee. It doesn't weave and bob like a fly. A fly has a certain agility that a bee doesn't. Bees leave you alone by and large. A fly looks to bother you just because it can. My father taught me a trick, may rest in peace. You take an undershirt off your body. It's an old European trick, and you swing it overhead. You ever see the old men do that years ago? There's no old men around anymore. Where are the old men in this country? You never see them. When I grew up, there were old men around. There were old men, middle-aged men, young men. Today, everyone tries to look alike with Viagra and hair transplants. It's like one continuum from age 15 till death. Everyone has dark hair, false teeth, and are sexually, they can be sexually aroused till they go into the coffin. My day, you got old, and that was the end of it. They were old younger, though. The truth is, in my day, 40 was 60. 60 was 40. 80 was 60. I don't know how it happened. So, like a 60-year-old today is like a 40-year-old then, right? And in those days, they died young at 50, 55, a lot of them. It was like 75, 78. Well, they ate like, they didn't know what they were doing. You ever take a look at their diets? Smoked all day, didn't exercise, didn't take a vitamin, no diet. Never heard of a garlic. They drank the wrong alcohol. You know, so, you know, you can kill any good genetic inheritance with that kind of situation. You could see I'm already, you know what I really want to do is have fun. I am having fun. Maybe it's too much fun. Maybe you want me to just do pure, you know, stuff for you. I don't know. I'm not in the mood. I have a friend I heard that I know from 30 years ago, listens to the show avidly in New York. Now, I haven't spoken to him in 20 years, but I heard he listens. And he actually knows that I really, when I told the story of the midget in the seedy hotel in Florida from 25 years ago, there really was a midget, and he really did rob all of my money and his money, and we had to call the police, and the police were in on the take. Remember that story? AC, if you're listening to this show, would you call and confirm that there was a midget in that Fleabag hotel in Miami back in the 60s? It really did exist. I was a naive kid from New York. We took the Greyhound bus down to Florida. We couldn't even afford a $69 air ticket. So it was like intercession, and we took the, what bus was it? Greyhound, probably. Greyhound bus to Florida. I remember to this day, went on. It was like a midnight cowboy. Right? It was like midnight cowboy. I mean, you know, like through Atlanta, there were like chicken bones in the aisle already. People were throwing food on it. You know, like eating chicken and throwing it on the floor. It got so filthy. Who would use a, you know, you really have to be a hero to use a Greyhound toilet. I would never. I'd rather bust inside than. Imagine going into a bus toilet in this day and age. Imagine what kind of needles are in there or whatever. I never, even as a kid, I wouldn't use a bus toilet. My God, the thought of it. The driver was like, he was telling you there's a restroom in the back of the bus? Forget about it. It's like apartheid, man. Take that bus. It was the best fried chicken I ever tasted in my life was, you know, what do I know? Everything with me is food. So I came from New York, and my mother would try to make fried chicken. It was okay, but I didn't like the oil. It didn't taste good. So I figured I'm in Atlanta at the bus stop. I'll try in the cafeteria, the Greyhound cafeteria in Atlanta. Now I'm going to try the cuisine of the South in this place. What did I know? I was a kid from New York. I had no idea. I figured, all right, I'm in the South. I'm going to try Southern fried chicken. Where am I going to try it? The Greyhound bus terminal. It was excellent. It was unbelievable. Those days, there was no KFC. They do a pretty good job, KFC. I've told you that. I haven't eaten it for a while. I got to try it again. I need to, like a hand. Maybe that's why I have a skin condition, not enough grease. You know, I bet you I cut down on the fats too much. My skin became tight. Maybe if I had a high-fat diet. You know what? What if I went to a high-cholesterol diet for a few days? I guarantee, no, I went and got the fish oil today. The Norwegian, the nitrogen-infused $18 variety. Of cod liver oil, some special hippie fish from Norway. Fish that are, they're all socialists. They're not racist. They're not homophobic fish. They danced in certain aquariums, and then they were harvested peacefully in their old age. And their livers were extracted gently by Dr. Death from his jail cell and infused with nitrogen. I actually feel better from it, the fish liver oil. But I don't like it. I grew up on it. Thank God I had fish liver oil as a child. I got to tell you the truth. With the diet I ate, what she put into my mouth, you know how they force feed a goose to make pate? I was close to second in a human form. Well, because they came from poverty in the old world, so they had a little money. The first thing they did was feed you. They didn't intend to give you a heart attack at 12. But it was a cardiotoxic diet. There's no question about it. Ham and eggs for breakfast, meatloaf, a light lunch, meatloaf. From the night before, and at night you had a steak or pot roast polished off with an ice cream. Now, if you do that to an average human being today, they're dead in 3 years. Let's say you wanted to take Al-Qaeda members, and you say, well, here's your choice. We're either going to keep you in prison indefinitely with no charges for another 10 years, or we can subject you to Michael Savage's childhood diet for 3 months. And if you don't get a heart attack, you're free. You know what I'm saying? It's a choice. Now, the reason I think I'm still alive is twofold. A, I inherited on the female, the maternal side of the genetics, and B was the cod liver oil. Because despite the cardiotoxic diet, she gave me cod liver oil. She made me take drops. It was like in a drop a bottle in orange juice. I hated it. I hated the taste of it. It was so disgusting. To this day, it was like remembrances of disgusting things past. It was like Proust in the negative. Drip, drip, take it, it's good for you. I hated it. Take it or I'll kill you. And the scissors came out, or the big knife from the drawer. The soprano scissors were looked at. Her eyes crossed, and I knew I better take that orange juice with the – it was less than getting a good wallop, you know, if I didn't take the juice. It was like the Kool-Aid. I mean, you look back on these things, it's lucky I didn't wind up in Guyana with Jim Jones. You know, I mean, take my Kool-Aid, man. Here's the drops in the Jell-O, you know. What am I talking about? Do some of you – are you able to follow free association when I get into the jazz thing of the show, or should I stop it? Would you like two dimensions, one dimension, or seven dimensions? You got to tell me what you want me to do here. On the line is a guy I have not spoken to in 10, 15 years, but he knows that the one-eyed midget from Miami story is 100% true. AC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael.
I don't believe it. It's you. It really is you. I cannot believe it. I heard the other day that you are a listener.
A guy called me. He says, you better call your buddy Mike Savage. He says you should call him. Some bartender called me, the very same guy from 6-7 months ago. Mike, the big question is, do you remember how much money you put in the safe in Florida?
No! How much did I... Wait, I'm going to guess. In those days, $35, my entire life savings.
Bingo!
No. Are you serious? Was it 35 bucks?
We put in the money in the morning. We came back 6 o'clock. He didn't know what you were talking about.
Was it not a midget in a shredded midget suit, like a bellhop?
23rd and Collins, man.
23rd and Collins. So is that South Beach today, Arnie?
Well, you know, South Beach, they want to say, is below 21st Street. So it's not officially South Beach, but it's South Miami.
Okay, but did you have bed bugs in your bed?
Of course.
I woke up in the morning, I thought I was hallucinating. There were bed bugs in the hotel. Now, today, I'll bet you that property's worth a pretty penny, no doubt.
But, Mike, you don't remember. You went crazy with the guy. All of a sudden, he immediately found it, or he forgot. He found it.
Wait a minute. Let's slow down. We put the money in, all our money, in the safety deposit box in this flea-bag hotel. We come back. I don't know about no money. I went crazy. Didn't we call for the police?
We threatened to call for the police. The midget eyes started rolling around in his head, the one eye. And all of a sudden, he remembered it was in the back safe.
Oh, I pulled a loud yelling scene in the lobby, right?
Went nuts.
I gave him the command voice and the insanity, and the midget suddenly saw reality. He vaguely remembered the money. Oh, I switched to the other box or something, right? That's right, it reappeared before the police arrived.
He appeared. All of a sudden, he apologized profusely. What can I say? It was incredible. It was
See, but people think I made up the midget in the Miami hotel story. What else? Now, is it not true, and I won't get too personal, didn't you have an uncle who owned a hotel down there, a rich guy?
Got some memory.
Wait, yes or no? Didn't he own a hotel?
Mickey Hayes,
But didn't he also have a slight habit of stealing the sugar out of other hotels? I remember he owned a hotel worth millions in those days, even in those days millions, which could be, you know, God knows what today. But he had a habit, the sugar and the butter he took from other hotels.
And the plastic spoons.
That's right. You never knew when you might need them because he could be thrown out of Florida any minute. Without getting into detail, I hear you're happily remarried and everything now. I won't get into details.
Michael, I have been wanting to call you for the longest time. I just never, I don't know what to say, but now I get phone calls, call you
oh,
up.
Oh, no, now the next time you're on the West Coast, it's dinner on me. We're going to have a good laugh. Because as I get older, I realize, I mean, time, tick-tock. You know, you can't invent old friends, my friend AC.
And you know this, you know, are we on the radio now? Because I don't even know, but...
I hope so. If we're not, I'm out of business.
Let me tell you this. There's one thing, I mean, I go over my Michael's, the times we had together. Why can't I get Hakka cuisine here on the East Coast?
Isn't that amazing? From the years you lived in San Francisco?
You took me on Broadway to the Hakka cuisine. There was also...
Oh, yeah. No, it's you cannot get Hakka in New York with that Chinese community? You never heard of a Hakka?
All I know is you turned me on to the greatest Chinese food in the world, Hakka.
Well, it's San Francisco has the best Chinese food in the world. There's no question about it. And Hakka cuisine is at the top of the list. It's in the clay pots and the this and that. You know, before you go, I remember one of the best memories of my life in San Francisco was when you lived here before the horrible, and I can't bring it up, let's forget it with the taxi thing, right?
Michael, there's not enough time that we have now. You're on your show.
But I was there for you, wasn't I? Was I not there for you?
Showed up to see that I was still alive. I had an apartment on 17th Avenue. I couldn't even go to the bathroom. My hands were all in casts.
Oh, I'd like to. That is that where? Let's not go into that person. I'm sure he's a board of supervisor today. Do you remember the dinner your former paramour threw in that wonderful apartment? A long Sicilian dinner. She had. Remember, she was from Sicily, right? A lovely girl. And she did an Italian meal. Remember I asked for like a Godfather meal and she did it with like 20 people at a long table. Remember that meal?
Fabulous.
See that? I remember all the good stuff. It's all simple things, AC. Let me tell you.
There's so much. And they asked me what music I wanted to play. And I was all of a sudden, I nutted up. You don't play any Latin music for them on the air, do you? They wouldn't understand.
Oh, yes, I do. Once in a while from the private collection. Our old friend Artie sends me CDs I play. Play Power of a Via while AC is on. Let's see if it makes him go. It means to life, and to you I say to life. God bless you. Thank God you're still with us on this planet.
Savage.
I think my ADD is out of control again. Probably the ice cream I had before the show. It's low fat, though. Don't worry about my arteries. I have like one a week I'm averaging now. But I see on my left shoulder there's the devil who says, go ahead, have the ice cream. You work hard. It won't hurt you. And the right shoulder says, yeah, but you wrote the book on nutrition. You know what it does to your body. You can't. So what I do is I assuage the little figure on my right shoulder by feeding it a papaya or some other healthful fruit, and then I eat the ice cream. That way both of the little guys are happy, the little demon on the right shoulder and the little demon on the left shoulder. Go ahead, have it. Don't have it. Remember when I was a kid, there were cartoons like that. They helped you with schizophrenia because it showed you everyone had it. Now they've so segmented us as human beings, they make you think you're crazy if you reason with yourself. Society... Listen to what I'm saying to you. Society is so crumbled that if you actually sort of reason to yourself, they make you think you're crazy and you need to go to a whack job who puts you on a medication. On one hand is this. I grew up saying on one hand is this, on the other hand is that. I grew up with a little guy on my right shoulder, a little one on my left. I don't mean actual effigies. I don't live in New Guinea. Now, in New Guinea, I have masks from New Guinea from the 1960s. They actually think that there were little guys on their shoulders because I have the mud masks that I collected when I was over there. They actually don't think that their voice, they're like ideas in their head. They see them as little spirits dancing around on their head. So they make mud masks with little figures on the mud masks representing what we would consider voices. They're all little figures. I have these masks. They're wonderful. That was once a hobby of mine. It must be worth a fortune. I'll never give them away, though. They're wrapped up in a basement somewhere. But we're so whacked out as a society now that if you reason with yourself, you think you're sick. If you don't think in a monotone like a corporate guy, you know, and once a day, if God forbid a thought enters your brain where you doubt anything you do, my depression is acting up again. I better take a pill. No, that's called your sense of reason is acting up again. How many voices do you have in your head at one time? I beat Shakespeare. I have 17 a day.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
The Savage Nation in Las Vegas. I haven't slept in 2 days. It's the bed, Joseph Aboud mattress, private apartment, very expensive. I haven't slept a second yet. A mattress you could sink in, covers perfect, no problems, no smoke, no perfume. I haven't slept two seconds yet because I don't sleep when I travel. So I can't sleep. I'm thrashing. But I had watched Band of Brothers. You know, it's replaying again on the History Channel. Very touching series. And they had the series on about the Herson Forest in the Battle of the Bulge, where the poor American soldiers had to dig in the snow to evade the German artillery, the 88s. It was unbelievable. And one of the guys interviewed when he's an older man says, you'd be surprised how fast you can dig in ice when the 88s are flying overhead. And these poor boys slept in ice and snow. And I said, my God. I said, hey, what are you complaining about to yourself? I had to talk to myself. Maybe I'm nuts. I said, what are you complaining about? You're in a bed that the mattress is $18,000. Go to sleep already. I said, it's better than the Herson Forest, I had to say to myself. These guys fell asleep in a snow pit. And you're complaining because the air isn't right, the pillow isn't right. I got embarrassed from myself. I fell right asleep. I woke up at dawn 5 minutes later. It was fabulous. I had a full 5 minutes right there. But what got me to sleep was thinking of the guys digging a bed in the ice. I'm just a light sleeper. Tonight it's drugs. I gotta get a drug. I'm going to give in. I don't like to use a sleeping pill. Tonight I'm going to drink myself into a stupor and take a sleeping pill because if I don't sleep, I'm a dead man. That's what do you think it's invented for? I use them selectively. That's all. I got to. Doctor gave me a prescription 2 years ago for Ambien. I've never used one. It's a kind of a Valium type of drug. I hate that because the next day I have rebound hostility from Valium. Did you ever notice if you take a Valium, you get the next day you want to, like, bite people? No, many people don't know that they have, like, impulses the next day from a Valium. Like, well, you take it, you're like, oh, yeah, it feels good. This is what God wanted. This is how I'm supposed to feel. The next day you're walking around, you have impulses to, let's say, stab your boss in the eye with a pen, throw soup in your child's eye. I mean, it's terrible. And these things happen. Why do you think there's so much craziness in the world today? Because there's a lot of drug effects the next day. So I don't take them because I have these impulses and I don't like that feeling of wanting to pour hot liquid over someone's face that I'm talking to.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage.